Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and I want everyone to stay tuned to today's show because we have a very special announcement this morning. Tim Andrews, our president and CEO, is in the house, and Tim's going to give us some exciting news in a few minutes. Tim, you want to give us a little hint now, or we're going to have to wait?
Gotta wait, Melinda.
No hints.
Hang on. I'd also like to introduce our elite team of editors. Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor Magazine, is in the house, and you're just putting the finishing touches on the November issue of Counselor.
Yeah.
What can people expect?
Well, we're predicting a rebound in the market for 2010, so a little bit of a guide for businesses in the industry on how they can prepare for that rebound that's coming.
I understand it's a four-part plan.
Four-part plan.
All right. Well, get ready for the rebound. Mm-hmm. Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resources here, and Michelle has been blogging like crazy these days. What can we see on your blog this week?
I'm going to do a blog on breast cancer awareness promotions. Funny ones, though. Irreverent ones.
Oh, that's ooh, good.
Irreverent.
Yeah, I've seen some good ones, actually.
Yeah, I've been collecting a couple.
Players in the NFL this weekend were wearing pink cleats for
really?
Breast cancer awareness.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. That's very cool. Mm-hmm. Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine, is in the house, and she is also hard at work on her November issue. What's the cover story?
The cover story is getting over your number one sales fear.
And which
I'm not telling you what it is. You have to read it.
The number one sales fear. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think it is?
No.
Rejection.
That's a common one.
You'll
are
have
you
to
gonna
stay
say
tuned.
If we
no,
get it
cold
right?
Calling. No, you'll have to stay tuned.
All
that's
right.
Number two.
Well, you'll find out in a few weeks, I guess. Finally, everyone's favorite managing editor, Joe Haley, is here, and he is ready to rant. Now, Joe, of our loyal listeners emailed me last week, and he said, "Why is that guy so angry? What do you have to say to that?"
I'm not angry. I'm a happy little guy.
Happy little guy.
Happy rancher. No, I just feel that some things need to be said. If you bottle,
he speaks for the people.
If you bottle things up, it's not good for you. Your blood pressure goes up. I'm like a pressure valve. I release the pressure.
I can feel it right.
I have very good blood pressure because I don't hold it in. I vent.
We know that
let it out.
For sure.
And I'd like to give a shout out to our friends at Hammacher Schlemmer, big fans of ours. So.
Hi,
hello.
Tim, you have a hard time pronouncing that, don't you?
Yeah, I'm just.
You want to give it
a
try?
I love the stores, but I don't want to give it a try.
Give it a try.
H&S. H-S.
H-S. Okay.
Well, they're big fans. They listen every week.
Oh, that's great.
All right, well, I also have a very special surprise for all of you guys this morning.
Should we close
our
eyes?
Our friend Bob Heckler at Wimbrella.
Oh, we love Bob.
Sent us some very special ASI radio treats.
Nice.
And I think that we should open them all up right now because
no, that's bad luck to open an umbrella in the house.
Not if it has ASI radio logo on it.
Okay.
Wow. So here you go.
So nice.
Look at
nice
how cool these are.
I like it.
Ooh, I can't get mine open. Now I'm Andy, open yours up and show off the ASI radio logo. See, you never know what the weather's going to be like here in the studio.
Oh, so
it's always sunny inside here.
It's always sunny in
there
Philadelphia.
It is always sunny in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Oh,
these are nice.
Cute.
Aren't they awesome?
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Wimbrella.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Wimbrella. These will keep us
we love them, and it's
nice
supposed
and
to
dry.
Rain tomorrow.
Ooh, we can use it tomorrow.
Yep.
Good
everybody
timing.
Get your ASI radio logo and umbrellas out.
I think I hurt myself.
Don't do that. On the umbrella?
Yeah.
All right.
You are out of shape.
All right, Joe, tell us what's on tap for today's show today.
You got it, Melinda. You should be easy today because I actually have my reading glasses. We have a special announcement from ASI President and CEO Tim Andrews, who is in the studio with us. Do you have a client you're having a difficult time dealing with? Well, give us a call at 215-953-4979 or send an email to radio@asicentral.com, and we will dish you our best advice, and you get to score a $25
Visa gift card.
2009 has been a sour year for the SBA and the loans they give out, but it's ending with an uptick, and Andy has the scoop. Our resident Wicked Witch has a look at spooky Halloween promotions. Yeah. And
actually, Kathy's was better than the soundtrack.
I got it down.
Any of our listeners could guess which one that would be. What are the six components of an A-plus elevator pitch? Stay tuned to find out. Before you post anything, you need to listen to Michelle's report on new media etiquette, what and what not to post. I have a look at how secondhand retailers scored during the recession. Andy will look at a new study that shows that employee recognition is a cost-effective yet misunderstood motivational tool. Kathy has a new employment trend. Entrepreneurs are co-working. Our resident sloth has six tips for lazy workers to get ahead.
You say it like it's a bad thing. It's really not.
Sloth.
How to deal with shady coworkers is something Kathy has to do every day, so who better to give a report than her?
This is true.
If we have time, I do have something I'd like to get off my chest, but first we'll start with the industry news. Andy.
Thanks, Joe. Supplier Jetline just announced that it is moving its manufacturing and imprinting operation to a larger facility in Gaffney, South Carolina. The company's executive offices and some other sales, marketing, and back office functions will remain in the current Mount Vernon, New York location. The supplier will undergo a phased move beginning next month. Counselor Top 40 supplier Ennis reported a 15% revenue decrease in its fiscal second quarter. However, the company stated that in the first half of its fiscal 2010, it generated $50 million in cash from operations, which was a 61% increase over the comparable period last year. Check out Promogram for a full report. Some bright hiring news in a report from CareerBuilder and Robert Half International. The survey found that 53% of employers said they planned on hiring new full-time staff within the next 12 months. And 40% said they were eyeing temporary and contract workers. Only 23% said they had no hiring plans at this time. Plus, in Promogram later today, check out our brand new edition of the Joe Show. Joe, what are you looking at today?
You know, we have wonderful suppliers in this industry that keep sending me new products, even though we're almost to 2010. 2009's not over, so they're still sending me stuff, and I'm going to be showing what I've received.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. Finally, our phone lines are open the whole show today. We'll be taking your questions on any dilemmas you may be having with clients right now. Call us now at 215-953-4979. And as Joe said, if we put you in the air, we will give you a $25 Visa gift card. But now for the big news, and I think we're going to need a drum roll for this. Are you ready, Tim, for the big news?
I'm ready.
What can it be?
The big news is this. We have just signed and are going to be announcing later today that Tony Robbins, who was an incredible keynote in our Orlando show last year, is going to be joining us February 24th, 25th, and 26th at ASI San Diego. Great big news. So we'll be putting out a press release about that today and making an announcement. He really rocked the house in Orlando. Everyone was up on their feet most of the time.
Early, too.
Really early.
Early morning.
It was like 7:30 in the morning, and everybody came out of there just floating. And I think it really set the stage for a very strong, you know, beginning of a year, and it's a year where we really need a lot of people very excited about going to work every day. And so we're really, really looking forward to having Tony Robbins there next year at San Diego.
Wow, that's great news.
Yay!
Everyone loved Tony. We did a survey of distributors and suppliers on the West Coast as well as across the United States, and he came out as the number one person people wanted to be able to hear. And I think especially in Southern California, he's going to be a big hit. So we're really excited about people that are in California wanting to go to that show in the first quarter, really starting off the year strongly. We also have, I should also mention really importantly, about half the top 40. We've only had the show announced a couple of weeks, and we've got over half the top 40 committed to coming to that show as exhibitors in February of next year. San Diego. So we're really hoping we get more of those folks, but really great exhibition lineup setting up, you know, so far this year. And so I think it's going to be a great show, both from a exhibition perspective, education, keynote, you know, and we've got some really big gala plans too. So we're going to have a lot of action going on in February in San Diego.
That's cool. Great news. And we're starting off the year in January with another great keynoter, Colin Powell. So.
Absolutely. And he was great, too. He was there about 3 or 4 years ago. We had him, you know, as one of our keynote speakers. Again, number one person on the East Coast that people wanted to hear was Colin Powell. So I'm really looking forward to that, too. Really a 2-1, you know, punch in the first quarter.
Absolutely. What do you think it is about Tony Robbins? Because I was at the keynote in Orlando last year, and people were literally on their feet early for almost 2 hours, arms in the air, screaming, came out of there so excited. What does he do?
I think he's really interactive, and he gets you thinking about, you know, what can I do to really control myself, you know, rather than having someone who's sort of, you know, telling you all the things you should do because you're not a good person or these are the five things you've fallen down on. You know, he really tries to engage and really get you to look inside yourself and say, how can you make yourself different? And I think it really grabs people. I mean, he was really inspiring. He's had a very inspiring life, too, a very entrepreneurial guy, mm-hmm. you know, runs a lot of companies, manages, you know, a lot of a big business. He's also going to have a reality show coming up next year, too. So I think that's going to be great. People will be able to see him on the reality show and also get to see him and meet him in person.
Yeah, at NBC, he's going to have his own show where he's, you know, helping people improve their lives.
His
like
energy,
a life coach.
Yeah. His energy during his speeches is just infectious. I mean, he gets a workout over like an hour
absolutely.
And a half to 2 hours. He is really all across the stage and just – he gets people up because he's doing it.
And I think it's a reminder of how we have to be when we're interacting with people, too.
Yeah.
You know, some people walk in like, oh, woe is me. The economy's bad. Can you sell? You know, can
right.
you buy something from me? He comes in with, you know, I'm going to help you in your life and really comes at it from that perspective, which is really great. And also for the first time, both at the Colin Powell speech And also with Tony Robbins, we're going to, for the first time, have general admission. Of course, this is going to be free, as always, at the show for the keynote. We're also going to have availability for early entrance and early admission so people can pick their own seat at a small price. And for both of them, we also have the ability for people to meet and greet them. Colin Powell will have a breakfast. People
and photos,
can,
too.
And photos. So lots of things going on. Check out ASIShow.com. Again, general admission will be free. And then there's a small fee if you want to have breakfast with Colin Powell, or if you want to meet and greet and get a photo taken with either Colin Powell or with Tony Robbins. So lots of opportunity to really interact with people beyond just the sitting in audience and participating.
Wow, well, that's phenomenal news, and I'll be excited for it. So, again, that's in February 24th to 26th for the Tony Robbins in San Diego.
That's right.
That's great. Our phone lines are still open. If you want to talk to us about difficult clients or have a question for Tim, call us at 215-953-4979, and we have some callers on the line. We have on line four Melanie Schultz, a distributor. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. I have a question for you guys. I have, as usual, everybody says they don't have money for promotional products, and I have this one customer who's always the lone holdout, and I feel like he doesn't give me the business until I really lower the prices or throw in major perks and extras, and I don't know how to deal with that without cutting my pocket, because I feel like he only does it when I have to, you know, make it hurt my pocket.
It's like feeding a stray cat. If you keep cutting the prices, he's going to expect that every time.
And I, you know, and he's a pretty big client that I don't want to lose, but I feel like he's just taking advantage now.
I think you also have to look at whether he's a profitable client. You know, just because he's a big client doesn't mean he's a profitable client. You really have to look at, you know, how much time are you spending with him? What could you be using that time for to, you know, find other prospects that maybe will appreciate what you do for them more and really reward your creativity? So just because someone's generating a lot of revenue doesn't mean they're generating a lot of profit. It's very important to look at what that measurement looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good, because, you know, I see that he orders from competitors if I don't give him his bottom line that he wants.
Yeah, but what kind of service is he getting from those competitors? You have to make him see the bigger picture, the non-monetary value that you bring, and that your promotional products and the promotions you help him with bring, such as you can't really put a price on customer loyalty or employee loyalty,
right.
But these days you need to keep your customers and your employees. So you have to give them the mindset to see the bigger picture.
Also, you can itemize the bill and show them where the service is, mm-hmm. Imprinting, delivery, anything that you have to pay for, and say, you know, which area should we cut out to get you down to the price that you want.
I think what Tim was saying was really important, too, about the profitability of the client. In fact, in the July State of the Industry issue of Counselor Magazine, we actually provide a formula where you can determine the actual lifetime value of a client. And if you do that with each client, it may surprise you who actually are the profitable ones.
Oh, great.
All right. Well, good luck, Melanie. Stay on the line for your gift card. Thanks for calling. And on line two, we have Gemma. Good morning, Gemma.
Hey, everybody.
Hi there.
Hey, I listen to you guys every week. I just wanted to tell you, I'm based on the West Coast. I'm in Seattle, actually, and I was considering going to the San Diego show, but now that I've heard that Tony Robbins is going to be the keynote speaker, I'm definitely going to attend.
Oh, that's so great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Have you heard Tony before?
You know, I haven't heard him live, but I love him. I admire his work, and he's so motivational, especially, you know, during tough economic times, you know, really getting people pumped to achieve their dreams. So I've been a fan of his, but I've never had the chance to see him speak. So this is an awesome opportunity.
Okay, well, that's your big chance. Thanks for calling, and be sure to get one of those special tickets so you can meet Tony in person.
Great, thanks.
Thanks, Gemma. Stay on the line. And on line three, we have Luke. Good morning, Luke.
Hey, good morning.
Did you have a question?
Oh, yes, I do. A slight problem. I'm a distributor, and I have a new client who's doing lots of business with me. However, he takes up so much of my time that I'm neglecting my other clients. And I'm not sure how I should handle this.
Ideas, guys?
Well, like we were saying with our previous caller, you have to evaluate the profitability of each of your clients. And in this case, you'd have to take into consideration the time that you spend with that client, you know, and almost put a price on it so that you can gauge how much this client is draining actually all of your resources. And then you could see that it's probably too much. You know, you have to decide whether his business is actually worth it.
Or maybe you can delegate some of the smaller details that involve this particular client or this account to a staffer or an assistant. I mean, just because, you know, it seems, I'm guessing that you're the principal of the company, that you don't have to get involved in every single small detail, even though some clients may like that, that it's okay to delegate sometimes to an assistant or another staffer.
Good idea.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, Kat.
Go ahead. I was going to say, him being a business owner himself, I'm assuming, he realizes you have other clients and that you have to devote your day to other clients as well. So he should be able to understand that when you tell him you have, like, this amount of time to work with him today, but that you'll take him out for lunch the next day or something like that.
Yeah, I think also looking at, you know, what are you spending time with him? Why is he calling you? How is he contacting you is really important. And figuring out, you know, how do you moderate that? Maybe you, at the beginning of a project, say, okay, now, the next time we get in touch is going to be in 4 days. Let's have a phone call at 9 o'clock in the morning. Let's spend 15 minutes catching up. And that way he can collect all of his thoughts, all of his ideas, all of his concerns. And in a 15-minute period, you can handle everything rather than maybe 5 or 6 emails that you would have had going back and forth over the course of that time. So you've got to sort of manage him like you would manage a supplier or manage yourself or manage an employee. And you certainly want to be respectful of what he wants to know and handle those questions as they come up. But you can also, you know, set out the expectations in the beginning of how much time you're going to spend with him and how frequently through the course of the project you have with him. And then he'll know when he can contact you and in what method, you know, you're going to be interacting.
Great.
All right. All right. Hopefully we've helped you out. Luke, stay on the line for your gift card, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Well, apparently SBA loans have been bad this year, but now there's some good news. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah. Excuse me. The Small Business Administration just ended its fiscal 2009 last week. And in analyzing the amount of loans that they approved this in 2009, it was pretty dismal compared to 2008, obviously. It was less than 45,000 loans that they approved, and that was 36% down from the previous year. But there is a bright spot. September was actually the highest volume recorded in any month since August of 2007. So they saw an uptick in the loans that they were approving, and that's a bright spot moving into the fourth quarter of this year, the fourth quarter of the calendar year, obviously, and into 2010, that small businesses hopefully have a little bit more bank credit and loans available to them.
Well, that's some potentially good news. Thanks, Andy. We have another caller on line one, Leah, who also has a question about a difficult client. Good morning, Leah.
Hi, it's actually not about a difficult client, but it's difficulty keeping in touch with clients. I'm looking to see what you recommend, like how often stay in touch with their clients. I'm a solopreneur, and I find I have this database of people that I really want to keep track of. And how do people do it? Do they call every few months? Do they send mail? You know, do they send? I just find it hard to know what to do and how often to do it. I'm starting to get on to social networking, and so just looking for ideas. What have you seen that works? What are people doing? How often? And that's really it.
I would say, Leah, that there isn't one specific way. I would think if you try kind of like a multi-pronged approach, that's the best way to do it. I think emailing, Twittering, staying in touch with, I don't particularly do it, but on Facebook. And then also with mail campaigns and self-promotion campaigns to stay in touch with your clients. I think many different ways. It shows that you're engaged and involved in new media, but also that you understand how this industry works by using self-promotion.
I would do a newsletter. Either monthly or quarterly, do it via email. I would also get dates from your clients, find out when their anniversaries are, when their hire dates are, when their birthdays are. Mm-hmm. It gives you another opportunity just to drop them a line, drop a birthday call, give them a call to wish them a happy birthday. So it's very casual, but at least you'll be in touch with them.
I think you also have to segment your list. You know, you've got a list of your people that you've done with business with in the past, or your customers, and then you've got your list of prospects. And you need to identify which ones of those do you want to have a really personal interaction with, and that's really important. Which of them sort of fall into a sort of a different category of maybe a little less personal, and then the ones that are sort of more of a broad-based mass kind of communication. For instance, on those mass people, maybe you've got 150 people that, you know, you can't really keep in touch with, you haven't really done business with before, very little. And perhaps for those folks, you want to, you know, we have, for instance, a service at ASI that will send each of those. But you give us the addresses, and for a small fee, we'll send, every time we publish a catalog, we'll send one of our catalogs over the course of the year. So 4 or 5, 6 times, they get a catalog with your return address and your full color imprint on the catalog from us. You don't have to touch anything. And the next thing that happens is they, you know, call you up and say, "Hey, I got your catalog a few days ago in the mail." So you don't, you just outsource that to somebody else, and that way you're completely covered for that sort of mass market. On the other side, you know, as Joe said, you know, you get the addresses for their key, you know, life events, and you make sure you send them something that's appropriate in those key life events. And those are for the biggest customers, but also that prospect list is really important. So don't forget about that prospect list and mind that just as you would mind the list of customers.
You know what I think is really important, actually, is to get in touch with clients that maybe haven't done business with you over the past year. Part of what we were talking about before, this planning guide that we're putting out for 2010, is in the sales area to get in touch with your clients that had done business with you before, but maybe their budgets got pinched this year. You know, you got to find out what their plans are for 2010 and see where you can get in on some of those marketing plans.
Okay.
Good luck, Lee. Thanks for calling and stay on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just where do I find that information? And you mentioned the automatic mailer that you're doing too.
Information on that. You know what? Just send me an email. My email address is tandrews, TANDREWS at asicentral.com, and I'll send the info right off to you or anybody else that wants to have that info.
Great. Thank you so
much.
That's
great. Lee, stay on the line for your gift card. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
We're going to pause now for a commercial from today's show sponsor, ESP. And when we return, Kathy is going to give us some spooky Halloween promos.
The ASI Radio Show was sponsored in part by ESP, the industry's number one sourcing, marketing, and business management tool. Did you know virtual samples decrease the sales cycle by up to 50%? Learn more about ESP virtual samples at www.asicentral.com/store.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we're talking about scary Halloween promos, and our scary gal, Kathy Houston's going to enlighten
us. Oh, thank you. Scary Spice.
Well,
you know, in Advantages each month, really we have scary. The Hot Dates calendar, and in our other magazines, we have a version of that as well, and one of the hot dates coming up this month is definitely Halloween. Here are some facts. Halloween is an $8 billion industry in the U.S. It's grown to become retail's second highest income generating season after Christmas, and it's the third largest party occasion after New Year's and the Super Bowl. And this year it's going to be especially big since it falls on a Friday. So if you're already doing special events
for customers. It falls on a Saturday.
Saturday?
Yes. Even bigger.
Right, so even bigger.
Even bigger on a Saturday.
Even bigger. So, well, Mischief Night, too, you can have promotions for that on the Friday. But if you're already doing promotions and special events for certain customers, you should encourage them to do Halloween promotions, such as fundraisers and everything. There are plenty of parties and marketing initiatives that distributors and suppliers can get involved with. And other than predictable run of promotion and advertising efforts, there's been a relative lack of effort to make Halloween more of a marketing monster. So here are some ideas to get you thinking about the possibilities. Sports marketing. There's a whole plethora of local amateur football teams, basketball teams, hockey teams. They can do some kind of promotion where they give the kids mascot masks. Or the referees could wear skeleton costumes or something like that and give everybody, all the fans, a Halloween-related giveaway. Also, there's cause marketing. UNICEF, for instance, has become synonymous with Halloween with its long-standing penny drive. That could help. You could help that be promoted or help an organization sponsor a fundraiser like a Halloween party or a car wash or bake sale. So think about the possibilities. Coors has also raised funds for St. Jude's at Halloween time with its pumpkin pinup card. So there's plenty of good causes and parties and fun that you can get involved with this month that are Halloween related.
Cool. Tim, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I don't know about that, but I would just add that I think in addition to segue to something else. In addition to all the fun that comes with it, there's also a lot of safety because there's a lot of kids out,
right.
You know, and a lot of products in our industry have their
cool
flashlights, really cool flashlights,
reflective
material.
Yep.
That's all really important. And, you know, it's something that, you know, local businesses can give away to really advertise themselves. Maybe a local store that's selling candy or some sort of other kind of costumes, promotions could do something. PTAs, PTOs could sell reflective bags that, you know, allow a child to be more safe when they're walking around, you know, on the street and stuff.
And
so there's a lot of things that can really be really important, you know.
Right.
Those.
And that creates a lot of goodwill for the local businesses in your community, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to the Merchants Association. In our area, we have a little shopping center, and they open up the day before Halloween for kids to come trick-or-treat. And a lot of them give out pencils and the reflective stuff and the bags and stuff for the next night. So talk to them and get involved there.
All right. Well, great ideas from Kathy Houston.
So where are you going to be, Kathy?
I have yet
She's
to
gonna
decide.
Be Kate
I'm going to be a
John
desperate housewife.
Oh, no.
Like,
so so your day to day
life from New Jersey.
Your day to day life becomes real.
Exactly, my own little reality show.
All right, how many of you guys have a good elevator pitch for yourself when people tell you what you do? Anybody?
I say I do it all.
You do it all. That's all right. Well,
for
Joe
a desperate housewife, that's something.
Joe is going to give us six components of an A-plus elevator pitch.
Six.
Joe.
Okay, number one. You have to say what your business makes or does, and this should be brief, so don't go into very long-winded explanation. Number two, you need to talk about what market you serve, and you need to be specific. So if you're dealing with 30-year-old men who play Dungeons and Dragons on Saturday nights, you need to say that.
Nerdy. Like Michelle.
That's a bad,
don't make fun of my demographic.
Number three is important if you're talking to investors. You need to say how you plan to make money. Number four, how your business compares to other familiar businesses, not similar businesses. So in other words, if you're a distributor, don't talk about other distributors. Talk about you're like a Facebook model for marketing or something along that. So a company or an industry that they can identify with, that's who you want to compare yourself to. Number five, why you will succeed. This is a very important step. They want to know, especially with investors again, mm-hmm. they want to know why you think your company is going to succeed. And number six, what your ultimate goal for your business is. And that could be something like just helping other businesses market themselves more effectively. So choose what you say very carefully because you only have 30 to 60 seconds to launch your elevator pitch.
Thanks. Now, I would say if you're talking to prospective clients, though, I would also include, you know, what you could do for them.
Absolutely.
Right, and examples of things that you've done for similar clients.
Yep.
I heard a distributor say once he told me, and it was quick and it was so good. And he said, you know, I sell advertising specialties, anything with a logo on it. And if you use these products with my help, you can increase your business by 20%. And it was just boom. And if I was somebody interested, that
sure,
would really
sweet.
Get my attention.
Who doesn't want to increase their business
sure.
by 20%? All right. Thanks, Michelle. I'm going to pick on you again. There's a lot of new media etiquette going around these days. How do you know what you should and shouldn't post on some of these social networking sites?
Well, the problem
we
is that
we know you post nothing, but others.
Well, I think that what you meant there is Facebook, but there's also things like Twitter and
of
blogging.
Course.
New media is moving so fast. The problem is that etiquette and the law is not keeping up with it.
Right.
So there's a lot of gray areas. So I think the thing that people really need to remember is that even though sites like Facebook use terms like friends, that all of those people really are not such close friends.
Right.
So you just need to take a step back. And the rule that a lot of people use, the rule of thumb is think of your mother, think of your grandmom, think of, you know, your five closest friends. If something that you post would make them blanch, then you probably don't want to put it on the site. Another thing is to consider is that an average person on Facebook has 120 friends, and I'm using air quotes for friends. In real life, psychologists say that most people have three very close friends and 20 closer friends, acquaintances. So again, if it's something that you would share with these people, then it's okay to put on Facebook. But the problem is that people are so interested right now in posting things so fast and getting information out there so quickly that they're posting things and not thinking of the repercussions
right.
of what can happen. And it's problematic.
They don't check themselves.
They
and
do
plus,
not.
I would tell
they
my close friends stuff that I wouldn't want on Facebook. So I wouldn't even gauge it by what I would tell my friends. You know, I would say, like, what wouldn't I want Tim to see? You know what I mean? Something like that.
More importantly, what Tim wouldn't want to see.
You know, what annoys me even more than inappropriate things on Facebook is people that post like every 10 minutes just the most mundane aspects of their life.
Oh, yeah, right.
Eating a ham sandwich now. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
But you can hide. You know, there's a lot of tools that are built into these different technologies.
Yeah, I've learned those tools.
You can hide certain people. You can also, if you have a list of a few hundred people that, you know, are your friends, you can also create lists so that when you post your update, it perhaps only goes to your close friend list. So
right.
you can create lists that sort of segregate people so that you may not be broadcasting the same message, the same detail of information to every single person. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So the ham sandwich update might not need to go
might
to everybody.
Me. I don't need to know about the ham sandwich.
If it was mayo one day and mustard the next, then maybe.
Ah, then it's exciting.
Then it's news.
The other thing is you don't want to deluge people with a ton of information,
right.
whether it be personal information or business information. Do it sparingly but with quality.
Right.
So I'm going to post on our website some links that people go to can find that they can find some etiquette tips.
That's
and
good.
That would be on asicentral.com/radio.
One thing that I think is important in this is that people remember that law also applies You know, you're a publisher if you're putting comments up. And sometimes people, you know, they sort of forget that there's people that are reading what they're posting and that they're really serious, you know, comments. And so you have to be careful. You can't slander someone. You can't say things that aren't true about somebody. You've got to be very careful, especially businesses saying things about other people. You know, it may be tongue-in-cheek to you, but it may be really misunderstood by somebody else and taken very seriously. So you have to be really careful and not have something posted about someone else, especially you post something about yourself. That's, you know, you're making your own self-deprecating humor about yourself. But you have to be careful and not do something about somebody else.
You know, it's interesting you say that because the FTC is actually starting to get involved in monitoring online blogging and social networks. And they just came out with a rule, I believe today, or maybe it was announced yesterday, about disclosures that bloggers need to make. If they're being paid to say certain things, they need to disclose that kind of information. So the FTC and the government are starting to get involved in monitoring.
You'll see the law catch up quickly. I think you're going to start to see it come into play.
All right, we have just enough time for Joe to get something off his chest. So, Joe, give us your rant.
All right, on Saturday, I'm at Sam's Club, which is a warehouse store offering huge discounts for buying in bulk to get supplies for the Snack Shack, which Melinda loves, which I open on Sundays for the youth soccer league that I run. I'm stocking up on hot dogs, rolls, Gatorade, water, and soda. So I wheel my flat bike cart to the checkout area, and as usual, I pick a line that looks to be the shortest but will turn out to be the worst possible selection. In front of me is a lovely woman who by all appearances seems to be buying stuff for the state of Nebraska. The flatbed is packed with everything from chicken to bread to napkins and paper plates, and the stack teeters and wobbles with every inch she budges the cart. I smile and nod at her. Then about halfway through the checkout process, as her tally increases with every scan, this lady starts barking orders to the checkout guy. Take that off, now scan this, wait, no, I only want one of those, etc., etc., etc. It's like she's playing some weird Price is Right game. Naturally, I sighed out loud, which invited a glare from her as if I was the one with the problem. So much for those early smiles we exchanged. Anyway, if you ever do this, my advice is stop.
Oh, my God.
Get a calculator or add up prices in your head before you reach the checkout. You know you're not the only person in the store. You've also created more work for the poor checkout person who now has to restock the items you thought you wanted to buy but no longer do. And I'm not sure what is worse, this or the people who decide somewhere in the store that they don't want that jar of mayo, so they put it back on a shelf with the cake mix.
Okay.
How do you get through the day, Joe?
Joe Haley. We are out of time today. Thanks to our listeners and thanks to today's show sponsor, ESP. For more information about our San Diego show or any of our ASI shows, check out asishow.com. And be sure to tune in next week, same time, same place, when we talk about how to start preparing now for a business rebound. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye-bye.